I'm WSB's Mark Arum. Depend on the WSB Breaking News Center for immediate breaking news,
severe weather alerts,
or a traffic red alert whenever and wherever they strike.
Immediately accurate
WSB.
Depend on it. The Mark Arum Show is performed before a live studio audience.
No, I want this town to be near you. No gray skies ever turn blue.
Welcome to the show and a good Friday Eve to you. Mark Arum here, you there. It's the Mark Arum Show, heard Monday through Friday, 10 to midnight on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Hope you had a great week, and I hope you have a great weekend planned. If you do not have any weekend plans, well, you do now. You are going to the Atlanta Improv tomorrow night at either 8 or 10 p.m. to see my next guest. He is Hal Sparks. He joins us live in studio. How are you, sir?
I'm spectacular. Thanks.
I feel like you've been in my life forever, and you look the same. Like, you have not aged. What is going on with that?
I have a painting in my attic that looks like crap. It looks like Hume Cronin. I learned a long time ago. I've been touring since I was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, take care of yourself. And a lot of guys don't learn that lesson until it's too late. So
you're on like some Tom Cruise kind of thing. I mean, literally, look the same now you did 20 years
ago. Yeah. They wouldn't let me join Scientology because I had too many questions and I broke the machine.
Understood.
So I started my own. I have my own, like, it's a small religion, but, you know, with the difference between a major religion and a cult is just numbers. So as long as once I clear 100, then I'm filing for tax exempt status.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all my touring, everything is just going to be like a road show.
Sparksism.
Yeah, I'm not going to call it stand up anymore. It'll be a revival. And, I'll come in and pop a tent I do anyways, but then I'll come in and do the shows in those. And
have you always done, I mean, I know you're from TV, obviously,
yeah,
but have you always been stand-up as well?
So that's what I started in. I mean, when I moved to Chicago when I was 14, I started doing stand-up when I was 15.
Wow.
So, yeah, and it's been, I mean, that's like a safe, it's the reason why I never had to wait tables as an actor is because I always had a job.
You were always doing
it. I was always performing.
I would think that's scary to start doing stand-up at 15,
no.
But I would imagine that's probably good. Like, at 15, you don't know what's going on in the world anyway. So, you know, if you bomb, you bomb, whatever, you're 15.
Yeah, everything sucks when you're 15, so it's not like that, you know, if you think parts of your life are good, then going up on stage and having it not go well is going to be like, wow, that was terrible compared to last night. But when you're 15, you're like, the world hates me. This is just proof, you know.
Well, do you remember your first, the first routine you did at 15 or one?
Sure. I mean, I did stuff about moving from Kentucky to Chicago. That's what I won the Funniest Teenager in Chicago contest with that routine.
Wow.
But the reality was, when you're, most people, I don't know how aware they are of this, but the two traits you need to be a successful comedian, mm-hmm, and a functional one is arrogance and stupidity. Those are your two best friends.
Check and check.
Yeah, right. you can be confident later.
Yeah.
You can be, you know, skilled later. But in the beginning, you have to be so full of crap because unlike any other job, you can't practice it. You can practice every job. You can practice radio at home.
Sure.
You can record yourself and listen to it back until you feel comfortable. You can practice singing with a coach in a room until they say, okay, you're hitting the notes, you sound good. You can practice acting in a class, you know, until your teacher says you're ready. But stand-up is like learning to swim while you're drowning. And there's no other place to do it but on stage. It doesn't count. You can practice jokes at home, but that's not stand-up. It's not stand-up until you're in front of people. So
Hal Sparks joins us in studio. He's at Atlanta Improv tomorrow night, 8 and 10. Get tickets now online, atlantaimprov.com.
Mm-hmm.
You start at 15.
Arrogant and stupid.
At what point did you think you hit your stride, or do you think you hit your stride? Because that's
within about 7 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Like you just had it.
Yeah,
that
I was. Well, I knew what I wanted and I knew what I wanted to say, and it's changed over time. So you cure your nervous system while you do stand up. You change whether you want to or not. Mm-hmm. You're going to be a different stand up. It's a bottomless art form.
Sure.
You'll never run out of room to improve, and so I was ready to go the second I stepped up there, and I was not going to let go until they were enjoying themselves. And it's, you know, you can never blame the audience. I've always felt that, you know, it's like being, you know, when people complain about the audience. It's like being a massage therapist and going, I'm sorry, you're too stiff. I can't do anything with you.
The guy was too fat for that massage.
Yeah, it's right. It doesn't work that. Yeah.
So how did you get from the stand-up stage to my TV screen, seeing you all the time?
Well, the goal was always to be kind of in the arc of Steve Martin and Billy Crystal and other people, especially who were making it coming up in the 80s, mm-hmm. was to do multiple streams because they would help both things. The acting would inform the stand-up and vice versa. So I was just like, I guess that's how it works. I knew I have to move to L.A. I know I got to do it. Graduated high school, moved to L.A. That was it. And then I did stand-up while I looked for work. And I got work. I call the 90s the Sisyphus years, where I just rolled the rock up the hill and it just rolled back every night. Like I got jobs but never got traction. And then after doing stand-up for 2 years straight every single night, which was, I got Talk Soup. Essentially, I went back to doing stand-up full-time, and I was like, I'm going to do, but I couldn't leave really L.A. without losing jobs. So I found ways to do stand-up every single night for 2 years straight.
Just bounce around the circuit.
Yeah, going all the way up to San Francisco, even to Portland, and then back in a day to do shows all the way down to San Diego, Phoenix, Vegas, and everywhere in between.
So someone from E! Discovered you?
No, I'd auditioned for Talk Soup for 5 years.
Wow.
I kept coming back because they were always on the edge of firing John Henson, whether they told him or not, because they were just jerks.
Yeah.
Like the people who ran E! At that time were jerks.
Understood.
Some of the people who run it now are very nice and very cool, but back then it was awful. And after I went in the last time, John was really leaving. Mm-hmm. The year before, I'd gone in there like, we're going to give you a week. We love you. We're going to let you, he's going on vacation and you're going to fill in for him. And we're going to kind of groom you for the job.
Sure.
So people will expect, because you're new and people don't know you. And then they called me and said, John's not going on vacation. He's staying through and he's completing his thing. So I had to call all my family back and go, I'm not doing
a
week on the show. It was terrible.
Kidding.
Terrible. And it was the same year I'd done a part in Lost and Found, this David Spade movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out they'd cut my scene at the cast crew screening.
Dude, no.
I was sitting down to watch it and the curtain was going up. Somebody tapped me on the shoulder and was, sorry they cut your scene, but it's you were so funny. I'm like, that's great. So I had to call my family twice in 1 year and tell them that the work
Meanwhile,
I did was
think
erased.
You are just making your whole career up.
Yeah, that I'm out of my mind and I should pack it up and go home. And I got that phone call from my dad that year going, don't do it. Anyway, so the fifth year I went in on Talk Soup, they bypassed all the other auditions because they'd known me so well and they just brought me in on callbacks. And literally, the casting person went, we haven't seen Hal this year. We should bring him in for the last 10 people. And I sat in the room with these 10 people that they had picked. They'd mm-hmm. wheedled down 5,000 people to these 10 people. And I knew three of them. And the other ones, I was like, there's no way these people belong on television.
Yeah.
And the three that I knew were the wrong comics for the job. I knew it because I did shows with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, if they don't hire me, they're morons and I don't want to work for them. So I walked in there and I was angry through the whole process.
Yeah.
And they told me not to rewrite the script. I rewrote it entirely. They told me not to try to make the crew laugh. I intentionally tried to make the crew laugh. They said, don't talk as if you're talking off camera. I did that too. Because
anyway.
I was like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it my way.
2 years, yeah.
Yeah. So I did it. And after I walked off, I was like, I literally threw the paper in the air as I walked off. Walked out through the airlock because I thought they're never going to hire me. This is
arrogant
just
and stupid.
Another jerk around. They're wasting my time, and I've got a bigger fish to fry. So I walk out, and the airlock basically between the studio and the outside offices is full of suits. All these people from E! Had been watching in the booth. They were never at the other auditions.
Sure.
They were finally at this one, and this was the one where I was like, and I'm walking out, and they're like, wow, that was fantastic. Who are you? And I literally went, who am I?
Have you not
really
seen five
you
previous?
Haven't, I've been coming for 5 years and you haven't seen my tape? Please tell me you're new here, because if you've worked here for more than a year, I'm going to strangle the casting person. And they said, what are you doing now? And what they meant was, what other jobs are you working on? And I said, well, I'm going to go see about a new apartment, and then I'm going to go, but before that, I'm going to go hit on the makeup girl because she was the only person here who was nice to me. That was true. And I got a phone call the next day. I had a meeting with the executive there on the Wednesday, and I was hired the following Monday, and that was it. And I was the new host of Talk Soup a week later.
The lesson there is, be yourself, make everything your own, and
care enough not to give a crap.
Exactly.
Is my motto, because it's like you have to care more about yourself and what you're doing as an artist than you ever do about what's going on, or you'll never be original. You might lose a lot of jobs though. You got to be prepped to do that. But in the ones you get to keep will be worth it after that point. And that's what happened. I got that. I got Queer as Folk. I got Dude, Where's My Car? I got Lab Rats. Those are all based on that idea.
Off of Talk Soup.
The idea of I'm going to do the ones I want to do.
Let me ask you a question in like a minute, if you can.
Yes.
Describe the process of doing that show every night. You go into work and
Talk Soup?
Yeah. Like what? How does that even get on the air?
I would get there at 7 a.m. There would be a script written the day before. An associate producer gathers all the clips for that show from the day before. A writer would write the script that night and kind of piece them all together, throw in as many jokes as they could, and then me and the head writer would go over it at 7 a.m. next morning. The show shoots at noon in between E! News. In the morning and afternoon. Now they do it once a week, so it's super easy, and they have their own set. But back then, we would be wedged in. We would have an hour between the two E! News Daily things to use their set and put our own green screen stuff in. The writer and I would go over, we'd rewrite the gags, and put them up, and, you know, I would add my own little spin on stuff.
But you personally weren't going out and getting the clips and everything like that.
No.
Staff doing that.
The staff was gathering every day. They had relationships with the shows. They had to clear them. They had to pull them and say, we want to do this clip. Can we do that? They had to do that stuff.
Of that. Yeah.
And they'd lost a lot of shows. John had not made many friends, especially if the host was a female. We lost Oprah. We lost a bunch of shows. I got them all back in my tenure.
Nice.
So we got clips from all those shows when I came back on, because I made personal phone calls to them. I went to the TSA, the TCAs, and literally spoke to all the producers and went, I'll be respectful. I will make jokes about myself before I will make fun of your guests, and I will make referential stuff, but I will never be cruel, and you can trust me on that. And if you ever feel that I've wronged you, pull the stuff immediately.
Wow.
You just have to say no, and I'll even pass the joke by if you're worried about it. And we got everybody back.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, Hal Sparks in studio. He's at the Atlanta Improv this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets tomorrow night still available for the 8 and 10 p.m. shows. Can you hang out one more segment?
Sure.
All right, we're going to come right back. It's the Friday edition of the Mark Arum Show. So I went to Neiman Marcus on a shopping spree. And on the way I grabbed Sully and Mia. And as the cash box rang, I thought everything.
Mark Arum on 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide.
All right, welcome back. This is the Mark Arum Show, Monday through Friday, 10 to midnight on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. The Funny Friday Edition, Hal Sparks in studio in Atlanta for a couple of shows tomorrow night at the Atlanta Improv. If folks want to get in touch with you on the social media stuff, websites, what do we got?
Twitter at Hal Sparks, and then the Hal Sparks fan page on Facebook. And, I mean, Twitter's really the aggregate to find all the things, my YouTube channel, all that stuff. I mean, it's like my hometown. Like, I think more people are actually from, you know, like there are two countries we're all from now, Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
And sometimes you go, oh, I've got dual citizenship.
I'm more of a Twitter guy.
Yeah.
I just like, and I think it's good for, you know, I consider myself a wise ass slash comedian, and I think it's just great if something pops, you could throw it right out there and get an immediate reaction of whether or not it's funny or not.
Think about all the comics you've seen over the years who went, so this guy walks up to me in this thing, and he says this, and I say that.
Yeah.
That's the whole bit, or I saw this sign when I was driving that said this, and I made this joke. You're basically that's how they used to do tweets in the old days.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd have that moment, but you'd have to keep it to yourself and resell it to the audience. You'd have to tell them what the sign was, all the content, you do all this setup just to give the joke that you had pop into your head. Now you can take a picture of the sign, make that joke, and then do different jokes on stage.
Sure.
You don't have to, you know, because you don't feel like that joke died on the vine. And that's the best thing about Twitter is that it's a home for wayward jokes. Jokes that don't deserve stage time, but are valuable.
Sure.
You know, and I'm not topical on stage at all, so all my topical stuff ends up being
on
in my Twitter feed.
All right, he's a must-follow. Go see him tomorrow at the Improv, 8 and 10 p.m. Saturday night, AtlantaImprov.com. Tickets still available. It's been an honor.
And yes.
Next time I see you, I want you to look a lot older than you do, because
won't happen. Sorry.
Gosh darn.
I'm gonna look younger and fitter just to be annoying.
Excellent. Thanks for coming in, Hal.
Yeah.
All right. News, weather, and traffic next. This is The Mark Arum Show.
I'm WSB's Herman Cain, and depend on this.
Whenever and wherever
there's breaking news,
severe weather alert,
or a traffic red alert,
the WSB 24-hour breaking news center will tell you about it.
News 95.5 and AM 750.
WSB, depend on it.
Pop, pop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. The Mark Arum Show.
The white and the blue.
Welcome to the show. Mark Arum here. You there. Welcome back to the program. With you 10 to midnight every Monday through Friday here on News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Not very funny this week, so I brought in someone that's professionally funny. He's Bob Marley. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I live in Maine, so I got off the plane. It's like 95 degrees down here.
It's crazy hot.
We haven't seen 95 degrees I don't think ever in Maine.
Where in Maine are you from?
The Portland area.
All right. And I used to spend, this is make me sound really rich and snooty. I used to summer in Biddeford Pools. By that, I mean we rented a house for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And the Biddeford Pools is nice, but the actual town of Biddeford's a little sketchy.
It is very sketchy.
Yeah. And nice people, but not the brightest people.
Like, really?
Well, this is how you know it's spring in that area, because the maple buckets are hanging on the telephone poles.
You're not getting much out of the pole.
No.
I love Maine. I've never been up to the gorgeous northern coast.
Yeah, there's not a lot. I mean, in the winter, let's not even go. No need to go.
Can't go there.
It's unbelievable. I saw the news about you guys, though, last winter down here with your 2 inches of snow. It was
Snowmageddon.
It was unbelievable. We were all going, I don't understand what's happening. We were watching CNN. We're going, it looks like The Walking Dead. All the cars are just on the highway. People just walking off. I was like, okay, what's going on?
It snowed. Well, it was probably the worst experience Atlanta's had post Civil War, I would imagine. I mean, just, it was awful.
I had a plow on my truck. I could have come down here and made millions.
That's what I said years ago when we had a first 2000, Jamie. Mm-hmm. You remember the 2000 ice storm? I said, if you want a pickup truck, go buy a freaking plow, put it on. You are going to clean up the next time it snows or has.
Absolutely. We had one storm this past year, 4 feet of snow, one storm. And my wife came in the living room. She goes, I just saw on the news that roofs are caving in all around the state because there's so much snow. Don't you think you ought to get up there and shovel the roof off? I go, that's a great idea.
Shovel the roof off.
Don't you think you ought to clean the oven while it's running? I'm not getting on the roof. Am I Jackie Chan?
So you're from Maine and you've stayed in Maine.
Yeah, I lived in Los Angeles for 11 years. And then I moved back to Maine because when we had kids, we went back because I wanted my kids to have what I had, which was horrible weather and no money. So we brought them back.
And limited female options, I would imagine.
Yes.
How are the women in Maine?
Well, they're pretty rugged, a lot of them. I've got one of the good ones. And although I will say this, in February at one point it was minus 26 degrees, and that was the day my wife decided to get the car washed. Now, listen, I'm not a very bright man. I'll be the first to admit that. I only know a few things in this world. Mm-hmm. One is, don't wash the car if it's minus 26. This is a bonus I'm going to give you this morning, or this evening rather. Never take a suppository and a sleeping pill in the same night.
That wouldn't work.
That doesn't end well for anybody involved. But anyway, I'm on the couch. I field the call from my wife. She goes, hi, Bob. I'm in the driveway. I'm like, oh, my God, that's awesome. I'm inside. Come on in. We'll be together. Yeah. She goes, oh, God, I can't get out of the car. I'm like, okay, we got spina bifida. What's going on? I just can't get out of the car. I'm like, okay, well, I can't get off the couch. Yeah. How about that? So finally, I go out in my Boston Bruins Walmart jammies.
Yeah, I've seen them.
You ever buy jammies at Walmart?
The best.
They're unbelievable. They've got, you know, different logos, Pennzoil, Mountain Dew, Skinnerd, Molly Hatchet, Billy Squire. Anything. anything you might need. Yeah, the first time you wear them, they're so comfortable. You wash them, dry them, they're capris.
Yeah.
Up to my knees.
I had the same thing with Old Navy clothes. Old Navy should be like, all right, these clothes are disposable. Just a heads up. It's $9 for shorts, but they are disposable.
They're going to shrink up.
They just fall apart. It's like they disintegrate. Like, I mean, I have no problem because they're great clothes for $9. You get a pair of shorts you can wear for the summer. But, you know, that's it. You're not
Well, those are
another.
Like the jammies I had, $6.49. I'm in the driveway. I look like Robinson Crusoe. You know, I look like the Hulk after he got pissed. And my wife is cryogenically frozen in the car like Ted Williams.
Just sheets of ice.
Yeah, so I'm yelling at her, what do you think it is? And she's like, I don't know. I went to the grocery store. I'm like, yeah, no, that wouldn't do this to a vehicle. And she goes, I did get the car washed. Okay, well, don't be so dismissive, Matlock, because that's what it was.
It, like a professional car wash is even open at minus 26?
Unbelievable. Over hand? We have a lot of salt up there. You got to get the salt off the vehicle. But so she's yelling at me through the window, go to Walmart, Bob, and get the de-icer. The what? You spray it in the lock. That's where we live.
Yeah.
You have to buy some spray to get yourself out of the car. So I go to Walmart in my jammies. I'm fitting right in. Over there, it's like Walmart is like the bar in Star Wars, you know. I was there 2 days ago. I saw a guy with no ears and his wife had a hairy chest. I'm not even trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying I can't shop when I see that happening because I find myself following them around the store like
people watching.
Yeah, signaling other people, come over here.
Look at this guy.
I see something.
I always thought it was unusual that their in-house clothing brand is Faded Glory.
Yes,
right. It's like
that's a pretty apropos.
How more apropos? Oh,
hold on a second, right? Chuck. Check the loggers. Walmart sponsor tonight. Right. Are they sponsor of the show? Oh, Target. No, we're good. Yeah,
Target.
They have Target.
I noticed one thing at Walmart. Is it just me or is most of the employees look like they've recently had an injury of some sort? You know, like, I asked one guy. I go, do you have the de-icer? And he's got a weird leg limp. And then he yelled at another employee that had an eye patch on. I'm like, what's you guys got a fight club in the break room? I'm like, is this a department store or a triage for the Civil War? This is like unbelievable.
So they have Walmarts in Maine.
Have Walmart. Walmart's like, hey, come on, you know.
See, back when I used to summer in Maine, there was you had the general store. You didn't have a Walmart. You did, you know.
Yeah.
So you're getting civilized.
We're getting pretty big up there. Yeah. It's you know, and I do a lot of gigs around there. Which I did a gig in a place called Sanford, Maine, recently at a place called the Comedy Barn. So first of all, people in Maine are different. They're like, don't ever get directions from anybody up there if you ever go. So I can't find the place. So this guy's raking leaves, and I stop. I go, hey, bud. And he goes, yeah. And I go, do you know where the Comedy Barn is? He goes, mm-hmm. I go, do you want to share? He goes, all right, here's what you're going to do. A lot of pants pulling, like it's a GPS system. You know, the looking around and, all right, here's what you're going to do. Then they always say stupid things. He goes, God, I know how I'd go. I'm like, okay, unless you're going to share, you know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I like the second thing they say. You going right from here? No, I'm going to another location, and then I'm going to use your Omni-Arm directions. So this is what he says. He goes, go down here a bit. Nobody knows how far the bit is, you know.
Yeah, the bit.
Quarter mile, half mile.
Two clicks.
So you're going to come to an intersection, take a straight. Followed up by this. That will take you straight through the intersection. Really, Rand McNally?
Take a straight.
Right. Then he goes, then you're going to come to a fork in the road. You're going to want to make a right, but don't. No, I don't just want to bang random rights for no reason. So I finally get to this place. It's the Comedy Barn. The C and the B had fallen off the building. It just says Omedy Arn. So I'm on stage. I'm halfway, like maybe 20 minutes into my set or whatever, and this lady is completely hammered. She starts from the back of the room. You, Bob Marley, you. She goes, you're not even from Maine. I go, really, honey? I go, do you think I flew in for this event? I go, who would take this gig that doesn't live here?
The Omedy Arn.
Yeah, do you think there's a comedian in New York going, should I work Vegas or Tahoe? No, give me the people from the Omedy Arn on the phone. That's not even the worst gig I've had recently. I did a gig for a Greek guy up in Maine. He saw me, and he goes, I got to hire you. You're going to do a show for my grandmother. Yeah. It's going to be my grandmother. You're going to be out in the driveway. She drive in. You surprise her. You jump out behind the tree and tell your joke, a thing. Right? Okay. I go, okay, whatever. Sounds fine. I'm such an idiot. I agreed to it. So he gets a call. He goes, everybody hide now. Hide. So he goes, I give you the signal. And I'm hiding behind an oak tree. The signal apparently is him kicking me as hard as he can.
You're up.
Right. So I run out with a microphone in my hand. And she's 89. This lady's pulling in with a Cadillac. She doesn't I'm a lunatic to her. I have a silver object, could be a gun.
Yeah.
She doesn't know, and I'm like, hey. I jump out behind the tree, and she hits the gas and hits me in the knee. This is like 6 months ago. And he comes, he's yelling at me, what are you doing to her? And I go, I did what you told me to do. He goes, what are you going to do now? I go, I'm probably going to dig my patella out of my tibia and then go home.
Did he spray you with Windex to make it all better?
That's it.
Bob Marley's in town at the Punchline this weekend. Hilarious stuff. You mentioned the directions. Jamie, this is, I do traffic on television in the mornings.
Yeah.
So I always find it funny if I'm out and about in town and someone from out of town just happens to pick me to ask for directions. Like, do you know how to get to Lenox Mall from here? And it's like randomly asking someone for, heart medicine recommendations and just happening upon a surgeon.
Right.
They asked the traffic guy, do you not take the Lenox Mall? I'm like, well, I've got 9 ways. You know, what do you want?
Right.
But I'm going to incorporate some of those others.
You guys are really, I mean, it's a big challenge to do traffic in this because it's such a big, you know, we don't have traffic at our local news where I live.
Really?
We have weather. The weather guys, like the weather guy down here, I turn it on. They're all good looking.
Yeah.
Down south, like there's 75 across the board. Pow, pow. Like where we come, it's just some guy that comes out in the fetal position. He's like, he has a barrage of BS because he has no idea what's going to happen. Yeah. He's like, later on in the early mid-morning evening after, dude, chance of rain, sleet, and snow, tsunami-like temperatures, sunshine peeking around, cloudy sunshine, cloudiness with that sunshine. He's like, he said nothing.
You do a great Atlanta weather guy. That's right. Freaking awesome right there.
Well, there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
It's so nice down here.
75.
Pow, pow.
As a Maine native, I'm a huge fan of lobster rolls, fried whole belly clams.
Yeah.
A couple of things tough to get down here. Lobster roll preference. Do you like the mayo or the hot butter?
I'm a fan of the mayo.
Really?
Yeah. You're going to eat a lobster, just eat it with the butter. Don't ignore putting it in a lobster roll and then taking it out. My wife does it. She's like, I like the butter better because that's... She puts a cup of butter next to the lobster roll, has the roll with the lobster meat in it, takes dunks the lobster meat out, dunks it in the butter. I'm like, now you have a soggy roll.
See, I grew up in Connecticut where buttered is the preferred choice of the lobster
roll. Wow.
But I know there's, you know, you go to Massachusetts and it's mayo, and I didn't know what the
I like the mayo. Chop it up.
Listen,
Massachusetts.
I'll eat them both. There's no
it's
question.
It's unbelievable. Massachusetts, I was just down the Cape in Massachusetts. Everybody in Massachusetts, kid, hey, kid, good job, kid. Good job, kid. There you go. Talk about traffic. The getting from Boston down to Cape Cod on a Friday. We left Friday and we got there Tuesday night. It was like unbelievable.
Because Obama's at Nantucket or whatever.
That could be.
Or Martha's Vineyard.
I love it when you're in the traffic, though, and people keep craning. Wonder what's going on. They pull onto the side.
Well, that road to the Cape is ridiculous.
Yeah, pull back. What is it? What do you mean? It's traffic.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean? There's nothing. It's got to be something.
All right, real quick before we go to break. Best clam roll, lobster roll joint in Maine. If
clam
I'm going
bake
up there, where is that?
Pine Point, Scarborough, Maine. Pine Point, the clam bake.
You ever been to Bob's Clam Hut in Kittery?
Mm-hmm. I've been to Bobby's. Stuff. Yeah, that's right on where all the outlets are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to Bobby's, and Red's Eats is good, too.
Red's Eats,
up in Damariscotta. That's wicked. But
there's a couple in Kennebunk that I can't forget their names.
Where the bushes are down there.
Exactly.
I got married down the street from where the president lived with Barbara.
No kidding.
And I went by with my wife, and we stopped. I went to, this is like, I've been married 19 years now. And so I went to put the invitation into the mailbox. This is when he was still like the guy.
Yeah.
I went to put the invitation in the mailbox, and three guys ran out of the shrubs.
Tackled
you. With sunglasses on. Yeah. They go, what are you doing? And I go, I'm inviting the president to my wedding. He goes, he's not coming. And I was like, what? He's not. Give me the envelope. Get him down.
I'm
like on the ground. So it was like the Coca-Cola commercial with me and Joe Green. So I walked off like, all dejected. And then he goes, hey, kid. I turned around and he goes, I'll give it to him, but he's probably not going to come.
That's it. Hang on. I got to tell you my story about the Secret Service when we come back. Bob Marley in studio. Stick around. More to come. This is The Mark Arum Show.
Mark Arum on 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
All right, welcome back to the show. Mark Arum with Bob Marley in studio. Hilarious comedian. And he just told the George W. Bush story. George Herbert Walker Bush.
Yeah, the first one. Tackled by the Secret Service on the front lawn. So we get to New York, and I pull up front at 30 Rock like an idiot. I'm from Maine. I don't know. I'm like, I'll just park out front. And I didn't even get the car and park, and the cop's like, get out of here. So I go in, I park, drop my mother, I go park nearby, like in New Jersey someplace.
Yeah.
And when I get back, she's gone. My mother's gone. I don't know where she is, but she's gone. And part of me was like, okay, cool. I don't have to deal with her anymore.
She's gone.
So I go into the show, and Juliana Huff's there. So I'm in the hallway standing there, and you know, she's beautiful. Yeah. She's got nine people in her entourage. I'm from Maine. I have my mother with me, and I can't find her. So as Juliana Huff is approaching me, I don't know what I said, but I think this is what she heard.
Hi, my name's Bob Lally. I'm from Maine.
Just the look on her face, yeah. She just kept walking like, who's this idiot?
Yeah.
So I go out. Jimmy Fallon, like the nicest guy in the world. I do the first joke. Everybody laughs. And when you're on those TV shows, you're all in your head. If you're the comedian, it's all in slow motion. Mm-hmm. It's like a fantasy. They're laughing, going, yeah. And you're going, oh, my God, this is going good.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise might be watching. I could be in Mission Impossible 8, wacky sidekick. Right? All that's going through your head.
Absolutely.
I'm like, clear my schedule. Somebody call the Omidy Arn. Tell him I can't make it. So right before I get to the second joke, there's a little pocket of air. And all I heard and all anybody in the audience heard was...
Oh, no.
So now you can see it if you YouTube it. The first joke, I look dynamite. I look like Rodney in his hay. Yeah. The second joke, I look like I'm on crack because I'm searching the audience
for
like
your mom and her
like Lee Harvey Oswald looking for my mother. Even to the point where the camera guy's like, pull back a little. Something's going on here. Go to the Betty Crocker commercial.
God.
So I finally spot her in the front row. She's in the front row and she stared at me going... I'm like, really, Ma? You wouldn't even sit in the front seat of the car. Now you're in the front row ruining me.
That's awful.
But, yeah. Those shows are fun. The first time I did Letterman, my parents were in the front row arguing with each other. Same deal. I did the first joke, and my dad's going, he's up there right now, Masha. If you'd shut it, I could hear what he's saying. Oh, why don't you put a sock in it, Bob? Put a sock in it. And I'm like, okay, here we go. They're ruining me.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Tell the folks how they can find you on the internet and Twitter and all that stuff.
It's bmarley.com. That's bmarley.com. It's Bob Marley Comedy on Facebook and Twitter. Just a coincidence. No relation, obviously, to the reggae superstar. I'm an Irish guy from Maine. So,
all right. News, weather, and traffic next. Stick around. This is the Mark Arum Show.